Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's not uncommon for natural disasters like earthquakes, tornadoes, hurricanes, and other such forces of nature to make news headlines, ranking right up there are stories of tragedy. And we've seen tragedy unfold there in the Ukraine. Buildings and bridges, you know, they collapse. Car accidents, aircraft crashes, and other such unfortunate incidents where people are seriously injured or lose their lives. In each case, the pictures of ruin, destruction, and grief and death leave us oftentimes asking ourselves the question, why do these sort of things happen? Why do they? In the gospel lesson for this morning, Jesus is asked to address a couple of tragic situations that happened in the news of his day. What did he have to say about suffering, and how does he turn it into a lesson on repentance? What does a story about a fig tree have to do with disaster and tragedy in our world? What does this text have to do with our daily life, the daily life of a Christian? We are going to find out that they are very much connected, and it fits right into our Lenten season. As the readings open, Jesus is asked about a recent tragedy that had occurred in Galilee. What happened, apparently, was there were Jews from Galilee who had come into the temple in Jerusalem and were offering their sacrifices at the altar. When Pilate had killed them, he killed them for sacrifices on the altar. With what little we know, though, about this event, we do know that it is tragic. It is a horrifying thing. It's not something that happened every day. It's especially viewed as despicable because it was Pilate, a representative of a hated Roman occupation, was behind the act of violence in a place that was supposed to be safe from it. They want to know what in the world these Galileans did that would bring such judgment on them. Popular belief in the first century was that such tragic events were a divine punishment from God for some particular sin. So Jesus responds, do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than other Galileans because they suffered in this way? No, I tell you that unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. He then goes on to illustrate his point by asking about another recent tragedy of the day that we only see recorded in this one account in Luke's gospel. A tower had collapsed in Siloam, killing 18 people. That incident was just one of those tragic things that happen from time to time. Jesus is asking them, because this tower fell on these 18 people, do you think that they had some horrible sin that earned them such a punishment? The ultimate point here for Jesus, what he's trying to say to these people who died in the temple or the collapsed tower or suffered from any kind of tragedy in their lives, didn't do anything more horrible than you. Because in the end, the wages of sin is death. We all face it. We know that. We're all going to face that day. Some earlier, some later than others. But eventually, Your sin will catch up with you if you do not turn away from it. What makes this text so particularly timeless is that we are nearly 2,000 years later. We still have folks who, to this day, when asking the question of why do bad things happen to people in the world, they still try to explain it by saying, it's because they must have done something really, really sinful that God is punishing them for. What Jesus is trying to get across today is that no one, absolutely no one, is immune from the wages of sin. We can't avoid it. Everyone faces death sooner or later. It may come in a different way, a shape, form, or time, but it's coming. And when it does, everyone will face judgment for their sin, and those who refuse to repent of it. Now, we ask the question, what does Jesus mean when he calls us to repentance? What Jesus is getting at is that in our gospel lesson today, the need for us to recognize the sin in our lives. And we need to confess it, receive his forgiveness, and then stay away from that sin that would threaten to destroy us and lead us away, lead us from our relationship with God and with each other. To illustrate the need of repentance and its role in the Christian life, Jesus uses the parable of a fig tree. Now, the point of the parable is this. Fig trees are supposed to do one thing. They're supposed to bear figs. And in the parable, the tree was given an amount of time to be cared for, to be fertilized. But there would come a day of reckoning, you know, when either the tree produces fruit or it doesn't. And if it doesn't, what's going to happen? It's going to be cut down because it wasn't producing the fruit in the vineyard. So the owner of the vineyard is God, God the Father, the one who is looking for the fruit. In this case, the fruit of repentance. He was giving time for the fertilizer, that is his word, to be showered upon the trees, but there would come a day when fruit would be expected or it faces judgment. This is a timely parable for us for this season of Lent as well, because it is a time for fasting. It's a time for prayer, a time for repentance as we ponder what our Savior, Jesus Christ, has done for us on the cross. And that is really the life of a Christian, isn't it? A life of repentance. We come here on Sunday mornings and we confess our sins. In doing so, we recognize that our sin will cut us off from God and from life as he has given it to us in what remains. We then hear about our Savior, Jesus. We hear about what he has done for us. He's done for us through his life, his death, and his resurrection, leaving here as a forgiven people, a forgiven child of God. We want to live our lives, don't we? We want to live our lives in repentance by avoiding the sin in our lives. It's like being cured from some horrible disease. And once you've received the medicine, it has cured you, you don't want to go out again and expose yourself and get sick. Fruits of repentance work the same way. Once we have recognized what it threatens to do to our lives, confess it. Confess it for what it is and receive Christ's forgiveness through the word and the sacrament. We stay away from it. We stay away from it that it doesn't devour us in the end. You and I have been given time, just as the fig tree was given time in the gospel reading for this morning, to repent, time to repent of our sins and to trust in Jesus for forgiveness, eternal life, and salvation. God preserves lives for a time in this world so that they can hear, and receive his word in the hopes that they will be, that they will repent and be forgiven. We are given time, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those in our community who may not believe in him. Time to show our fruits of repentance and faith for what Christ has done for us, the difference he makes in our lives, and the reason that we are here in this community. That's why we boldly proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ, crucified for the sins of the world, to people in our lives and in our communities, with the hope and the prayer that they will produce fruits of repentance and faith before the day of grace ends. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.